This morning I want to speak on the subject priorities. I want to do four things. I want to remind you that each one of you have priorities in your life, and those priorities order your life. I want to show you that Jesus had priorities, and he taught that we should have them, the right priorities in the right order. I want to warn you, number three, that Satan always has an alternate priority for the ones that God wants us to have. And then at the end, I just sort of want to introduce my message for tonight. I just want to give you some principles by which to set your priorities. I'm not going to talk a lot about them. We'll do that more tonight. So I just want to give you some general guidelines as we end. But before I start the message, I want to tell you that every single one of us ought to let God set and order our priorities. Our old nature wants to set and order our priorities ourselves. But I would remind you this morning that God knows more about what we need in our life than we do. Amen. For us to say that we know better than God what we need and what our priorities should be is like a potato saying to a farmer as it's growing, "I know more about what I need to grow than you do." It's like a potato saying to a farmer, "I need more water and less fertilizer. And you ought to change the brand of the fertilizer. And by the way, I could grow better if you planted me over in this field because it gets more sunshine." Now, any farmer that's got any sense, if a potato said that to him, assume there's talking potatoes, would say, "Shut up, potato. As a farmer, I know more what you need to grow than you do. So just sprout in the field where I put you." Another example, to say that we know more than God about what our priorities should be is like a five-year-old coming to their parents saying, "You're not giving me what I need. I need for you to change my diet. Less vegetables, more desserts. I need you to let me stay up later, and I need you to eliminate all discipline. I want to be able to watch what I want to watch on television, and I only want to obey when it's convenient for me." Now, if you have you are a parent of a five-year-old, I want to give you some sound advice this morning. Tell your kid to shut up. Tell him that you, as their mom and dad, know more about what they need than you do. And you'll decide what they're going to eat. You'll decide what time they're going to go to bed. And they will obey at all times. So those two examples to make the point that God knows more about what we need than we do. And we ought to let him set our priorities. All of us have priorities. They order our life. The fact that you are here right now says to me that one of your priorities is that church is important. In fact, it says to me that between 11 and 12 o'clock, or a little bit after 12 in this morning's case, but between 11 and 12 o'clock on Sunday morning, the number one priority in your life is to be in God's house and worship him. Now, many of you weren't here for Sunday school. That tells me something else. It tells me that between 9:45 and 11, there was something else in your life that was more important than Sunday school. Something else that was top priority, was more important than studying the Bible, more important than hearing it taught, something else more important. It could be very many things. Maybe you felt you needed an extra hour of sleep. Maybe you felt whatever you did last night demanded that you have an extra hour of sleep. Maybe you felt that there was somebody on television that you needed to see, or that a leisurely breakfast was in store. And I don't know what your priority was if you weren't here from Sunday school, and I'm not going to tell you to change it. I'm just going to say, examine your priorities. And know that what you're saying by not being here for Sunday school is there's something in my life that has more priority than studying God's word. And if you want to say that, that's okay. That's your right. That's your priority. It orders your life. But if you don't want to say that, then you need to reorder your priorities and change your priorities. So we all have priorities. And we will not be a success in our Christian life. And being a success in our Christian life, how I define that, is becoming what God wants us to become. We will not be a success in our Christian life, in other words, be what God wants us to be, until we get our priorities right. Until we get our priorities the same way that God wants them to have them. We just don't one day, we're not out one day walking, taking a walk, and we bump into somebody and say, hey, what's your name? And that somebody says, I'm success. And so we say, hey, I'm happy to meet you. I've been looking for you. And so you take success by the hand and walk down the path of life. It does not work that way. Success does not, and again, success is becoming what God wants us to be. Success comes by letting God set the priorities in our life, letting those priorities order our life, and living by those priorities. So we all have priorities, and they order our life. Jesus had priorities, and he teaches us that we should have the right ones too. Let me give you some examples of the priorities in Jesus' life. In John chapter 4, he said, I must needs go through Samaria. That particular day, that was his priority. There was a woman that he was going to meet at the well. She had been married 5 times, was living with a man that was not her husband. She needed a drink from the well that never ran dry. She needed a drink from the well of living water. And Jesus met her at that well. And again, it was his priority. A priority that was so important to him that it overcame Jewish custom, that it overcame Jewish law. It was more important than eating. His disciples had gone for lunch and came back and said, Master, we have food. And he said, not now. There's something more important that I've got to take care of. And he finished talking to that woman. She left, went back into town, and said, come meet a man that told me everything I've ever done. Is not this the Messiah? That particular meeting on that day was a priority in Jesus' life. On the cross, he had some priorities. One of his priorities was to look at those that crucified him and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. One of his priorities was to turn to that thief beside him and say to him, today you will be with me in paradise. One of his priorities from the cross was to look down at his mother and to look down at the apostle John and say, John, I want you to take care of my mom. Mom, I want you to go home and let John take care of you. Jesus had priorities. When he sent his disciples out to preach, he said, I want you to go to the lost sheep of Israel first. Your top priority in going out to preach is to Jews. Then you go to the Gentiles. In his last instructions that Jesus gave to his disciples, he said, I want you to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But before you do, there's a priority I want you to have before you go out into the world. I want you to tarry here in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit empowers you. Jesus had priorities. In the verse of scripture we read from the book of Matthew, Jesus was talking on the Sermon on the Mount. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That word seek means to look for. It means to diligently pursue. It means to go after. And Jesus was saying, your first priority, the first thing that you ought to put in your life is to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Listen, that's what Jesus was saying. The first priority, if you want to be a success, if you want to live life the way I intended you to live life, if you want the fullness of life that I want to give to every person, then your priority ought to be to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, I remind you this morning that his righteousness, it doesn't come to us because we do right things. That's not how it works. In fact, all the good things that we can do, all the kind things that we can do, all the righteous things that we can do, the Bible says, in God's sight, are as filthy rags. It's not our works that makes us righteous. We get the righteousness of God when we admit that we're a sinner. And by the way, we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We get the righteousness of God when we admit that we're a sinner. When we acknowledge that God has every right to put a penalty on that sin. The wages of sin is death. Separation from Him. Separation from the one that made us. Separation from the one that loves us. Separation from the one that wants us to be part of His family. And we acknowledge that God has the right to punish sin. We get the righteousness of God when we believe that Jesus Christ went to the cross to pay the price of our sin. The Bible says He was wounded for our transgression. The Bible says, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We get the righteousness of God when we admit that we're a sinner, when we acknowledge that God has the right to punish sin, when we believe that Jesus went to the cross to die for our sin, and when we call on Him. Asking Him to save us. The Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Bible says, for whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What He was saying is the top priority in every person's life is to come and receive Christ and get saved and then seek His kingdom, which means that we let Him rule and reign in our life. That we let Him be boss in our life. That we let Him determine what our priorities should be. That we let Him determine what's most important in our life. That we follow His will. That's what Jesus was saying. Seek ye first. Put it on the top of your list. Your first priority ought to be to get saved. And most of us are here this morning. And praise God for that. Praise God you came to that time in your life where you realized you were a sinner, needed a Savior, and you called out to Christ, and He saved us. Praise God, He saved us. If you're not happy about that, you need to get your happier fixed up. I'm happy this morning I'm saved. I'm glad that I'm on my way to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I don't even want to think about going to hell, and I don't want to think about anybody here going to hell. If you're here today and you've never received Christ, you need to know that you're a sinner. There's a penalty for sin. God loves you. Jesus died for you. And if you ask Him, He'll save you. He'll save you. Most of us are Christians. And so what Jesus says now, the first priority in your life is to seek His kingdom. That means we make Him the king of our life. That means we make Him the ruler of our life. That means we let Him be boss in our life. Jesus taught us to pray. He gave us that model prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Paul, on the road to Damascus, when he saw Jesus as not one that he was persecuting, but as his Savior, when he looked to heaven and realized it was Christ calling him, he said, what would you have me to do? And that ought to be the prayer of every Christian as we seek the kingdom of God. Lord, what would you have me to do? Amen. That's our first priority. That's what Jesus was saying. We all have priorities. Jesus had priorities. He taught us that we should too. Satan always has alternatives. Satan, the devil, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him, will tell you you don't need to worry about the kingdom of God. He will tell you you don't need to worry about getting saved. He will tell you you don't need to worry about making God the king of your life, the ruler of your life, the master of your life. You need to take care of yourself. You need to watch out for yourself. You ought to pursue prosperity. You ought to pursue popularity. You ought to pursue pleasure. Whatever you want is what you ought to go after. That ought to be the priority in your life. Satan, listen to me. That may sound good. Sin for a season bringeth forth pleasure. It may sound good, but I want you to remember, Satan is the father of lies. He'll try to tell you that seeking after the things that you want will bring you happiness, will bring you joy, will bring your peace. But he is lying to you. He knows it will not. He knows that following God and making him the ruler of your life is the only way that you can have that joy and have that peace and have that contentment, that you can have that abundant life that Jesus talked about in John chapter 10. Satan knows that's the only way that you can have it. And he'll lie and he'll cheat and he'll deceive to keep you out of God's kingdom, to keep you from doing what God wants you to do. Now listen, you may think, well, preacher, doesn't God want me to prosper? Doesn't he want me to enjoy pleasure? Yes, he does. That's why he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. God desires. Jesus said, I've come to give you life, eternal life, and I've come to give you life more abundantly. The world has no idea about the abundant life that we as Christians can have in the Lord Jesus Christ. The world has no idea. But you do. You do. You've experienced it. You know what I'm talking about. There are times in your life that you've been in the center of God's will and he has blessed you and everything in your life. Maybe your circumstances weren't all good. Maybe you were down in the valley. Maybe it was a cloudy day and it was raining. But you felt the presence of God in a way that you don't feel it every day. You felt the presence of God in your life and you said, oh, this is good. This is good. Doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter that I'm in the valley of despair. It doesn't matter there's some circumstances in my life I wish I could get rid of, but I can't. I feel the presence of God. That's how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego felt in the fiery furnace. That's how Daniel felt in the lion's den. That's how the martyrs of God down through the ages have felt when they've stood for God and sought his kingdom and said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. They felt the presence of God in a way that transcends every circumstance, that transcends every problem, that transcends every heartache. They felt the presence of God. We need to live our life. We need to live our life in his kingdom, with him as king, with him as ruler, with him as master, so that we can, there's nothing between, us and the Savior. That we can live in the presence of God, every moment of every day. I've told you the story before about the man and woman. They were riding in the front seat of their car. Man was over here behind the driving wheel. Woman was over here on the side, and she looked over at her husband and said, honey, do you remember when we first got married? We used to sit real close together. And he looked back at her and said, I haven't moved. God hasn't moved. God hasn't moved. God hasn't changed. I'm the Lord. I change not. Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. God doesn't change. And the closeness that we felt when we first got saved, I can remember the night I got saved. I walked out of the church. Man, I was walking on air. The night air never smelled fresher. The moon never looked brighter. Man, I felt close to God. God says, I haven't moved. Amen. I haven't moved. That's what I want all the time. That's what I want all the time. Satan will try to mess that up. Then quickly, four principles. You see, priorities involve making choices. You have to choose one thing over another. This thing is more important to me than this thing is. Let me quickly give you four principles. Always choose the spiritual over the carnal. Always choose the thing of God over the thing of the world. Number two, always choose the eternal over the temporary. The things that are going to last forever as opposed to the things that are only going to last a little while. Always choose God's will over your will. Always. always. And then number four, always choose commitment over convenience. Don't choose something just because it's easy. Be committed to what the Lord's called you to do. Now listen, we all have priorities. They order our life. God wants us to have priorities. And he told us in that verse from Matthew that we read a moment ago, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That ought to be the number one priority in our life. For every person here, if you're here today and you've never received Christ, you need to seek his righteousness. You won't find it by what you do. You will find it by what Jesus did for you on Calvary. You're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. Jesus paid your price. You need to come to him this morning and call out to him and ask him to save you. If you're a Christian here this morning, like most of us are, what would you have me to do, Lord? Amen. What would you have me to do? Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the example that we have in the Apostle Paul. Thank you for the example we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to realize that every single one of us live our life by the priorities we've set. We've made choices as to what's more important. Father, help us, please, to make your priorities our priorities, to let you set them in our life, to let you order our life by your priorities. And Father, I pray, if there's just one here this morning that's never got the righteousness, your righteousness, help them to come to Jesus this morning and get it, and get it. Help them to receive the Savior as their Savior. And then, Father, for the many Christians, help us to look to heaven and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And then as you answer, for us to be obedient. Bless this invitation, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.